Shall we start with prayer? Father God, thank you, Lord, for once again, Lord, for your presence, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the victory, Lord, we have in you. Thank you, Jesus, for amazing gift, Lord, for amazing victory, Lord, you're providing for us. Thank you for the faith, Lord, you give us. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're so amazing, Lord. The Lord God, I pray, Lord, please bless me, Lord, and bless my word, and bless your word as well, Lord. Your word go forth. And I pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Right. The message for today is standing strong in faith and loyalty during difficult time. Last week, Brother Carr preached about the second coming of our Lord Jesus. You remember? Yeah. And the part of his message actually focused on Satan. Do you remember that as well? He's preaching about Satan. He's not preaching about Satan, but the card tried to mention the character of Satan and the work of Satan and during his message. Yes, focus on Satan and his influence over believers. The Bible clearly shows us that the enemy is often behind the trials and suffering we face in this world. That's Satan. I believe all of us have gone through difficult season and we will face more in future as well. Hard circumstances can apply challenging our faith and loyalty to Christ. In such a time, the most question arises, how can we stand firm in faith and loyalty during hard time? Maybe you raise up another question. Okay, Matthew, what's the connection between this question and to this passage, to the Galatians, which is we read it? But for the answer of this question, I need to raise up a background. About 14 years after Paul first visited the apostles in Jerusalem, he went back again, likely maybe around the 44 AD to Jerusalem. Actually, in Book of Acts chapter 11 mentioned that. Verse 27 to 30 says, and in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of the Claudius Caesar. Then he discipled each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Then we can see here the Barnabas and Saul again with the other disciples and other prophets and people back to Jerusalem for the visit the elder. This time he traveled with Barnabas and Titus as well, Titus being a Gentile believer. Paul went to share the gospel. He was preaching among the Gentiles with the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Just imagine. Paul, he was Jewish, but he got a ministry for the Gentiles. But they need to back to the church in Jerusalem. All is Jewish. All is Jewish. Amen? So, at that time, there was a major controversy. What was that? One of them is, should Gentile believers following Jewish custom ask for circumcision in order to be truly saved? That's one of the problems. Actually, the Jewish leader, they put like a limitation for Gentiles. If someone to be a Christian, they must follow the Jewish custom, like circumcised or like, well, what is that, the tithing or like a, you know, they keep the law except that believe in Jesus Christ as well. A group of Jewish teachers often referred to as a Judaizer. It stands that the faith in Christ alone was not enough. They said faith to Christ is not enough. You have to have faith plus this. Like you keep the law. You know, faith plus keep the law. Which is the Jewish belief. I believe one God, but I need to keep the law as well. They thought the salvation also required obedience to the Jewish law. This brought a lot of pressure and confusion, specifically for the Gentile Christians. In the letter of the Galatians, Paul recommends how we stood firm for the truth of the gospel of grace. That's the point, that's the heart of the book of Galatians. How standing firm for the gospel of Christ. During that visit, he did not give it to the pressure, and Titus was not forced to be circumcised, because the leaders of the church recognized that affirmed Paul's message. That's the point. If Paul is not standing firm against this point, imagine how much the Christian faith it was changed or getting changed. Yeah? We have many things we can accept it. Paul emphasized in these sections, is it crystal clear? Salvation is by faith in Christ alone, through the grace of God, and not by outward rituals or the work of the law. In doing so, Paul showed his loyalty to the true gospel, and the church in Jerusalem confirmed it as well. Today we also face real pressure of the kind and trials, from personal and the family issue to the temptation of the compromising with the value of this world. This is a reality for today as well. And we can see how the liberal war, how the liberal idea try to influence the Christian world, try to influence the Christian faith. That's why we see that how much the church is getting changed. That's a reality. But in that time, Paul standing against the leader in Jerusalem says, you're not allowed to change the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus never said, go and preach the gospel and circumcise the people, and people must get the decay to the church, and people must do that and getting saved. Paul says, no, that's not the truth. Jesus said, preach the gospel to all nations. And what's the gospel meaning? The gospel meaning believing to Jesus, which is he was a Christ, Messiah. He died under Christ and buried and rose again after 3 days. And then you will get saved. That's why when you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, you are saved by grace, not by work. And then today we can see how the liberal world influenced the Christian world. Try to change it. Try to change the message of the gospel, unfortunately. Today we also various kind of the pressure and the trials from the personal and the family issue to the temptation of the compromising with the value of this world. But today, through the word of God and by learning from the Paul examples of the courage and convictions, we went to discover how we too can stand firm in the midst of the day's challenges. So, the first point is standing, how we can stand in firm, how we can stand in loyalty. The first point is standing for the truth of the gospel under pressure. That's a key one. Standing for the truth of the gospel under pressure. We see how the apostle Paul stood faithfully for the truth of the gospel, refusing to compromise the freedom he received in Christ for the sake of the empty human traditional. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, and this occurs because of the false brethren secretly to spy out our liberty. What's the liberty here? Anyone know? What is the liberty mean here? Liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. Anyone have any idea? What's the liberty here meaning?
Not bound to the law.
That's right. You're free from the law. The work of Christ done everything for us. He washed away. No more sacrifice. No more Jewish traditional. We have got a liberty. Hallelujah. We're free. But the Apostle Paul said, the some false brethren came to bound in our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, or to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And at that time, some Jewish believers were demanding the Gentile Christians like Titus had to follow the law of Moses, specifically circumcision, in order to be truly saved. This false teaching undermined the gospel because it made salvation dependent on human's work rather than God's grace through faith. That's the key word. And we can see today, unfortunately, some churches try to put a limitation for the gospel of Christ. Salvation plus this. Salvation plus mass, for example. Salvation plus that. That's wrong. But Paul refused to yield that even for a moment. He stood firm, not to prove himself, but to preserve the truth of the gospel for others. As a result, the message of grace was protected, and the church leaders in the Jerusalem stood with him. That's very important. He's not stand only for himself. He is standing for others as well. My brothers, my sister, when you're standing in your faith, you're not standing only for yourself. You will stand for your family. You will stand for your friend. You will stand for your country. You will stand for your community, which is believer. That's very important. Your loyalty is not only for yourself. Your loyalty brings a result for others as well, which is the Apostle Paul did. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith under pressure then and now. There are times in our life when our faith also tested. Society, friends, or even family might pressure us to compromise, to go along with the crowd or stay silent about the truth. I remember when I came to Christ for the first time, I called to my mom and was very happy. And I said, oh, mom, I'll be Christian. Do you know what is my mom said to me? He said, oh, you'll be Christian? You'll be unclean? You're not my son anymore. I never forget the milk which is I give it to you. Go on silent. You're not my son. You're not my son anymore. But I'm getting sad, but I'm not give up. For I'm standing in prayer. Pray for her. Pray for my family. Pray for my mom. Because I understand Satan blind her eyes. Because I understand, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. How about for my mother? How about for my loved one? And praise the Lord, maybe after 3 years, she came to the Christ. Amen? And this is a reality for today, my friends, for you and I. If we truly believe that salvation is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we cannot afford to compromise with the idea that deny or disrobes it. That's very important. Standing for the truth of the gospel under pressure. Amen? Standing for the truth of the gospel in the pressure. Maybe at work or in social circles, we may be pressured to lie, cover up the wrongdoing, or participated in actions that go against our values, but standing for the truth, even when it's hard, is a mark of the faithfulness to God. James 5:8 says, I love that verses. James 5:8 says, you also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hebrews 10:35-36 says, therefore do not cast away your, what? Confidence. The confidence to the Lord. Amen? You not cast away your confidence, which have a great reward for you. You have need to endure, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. Amen? You will receive the promises. My friend, if you are standing for the truth, you're not standing only for yourself. You will stand for others as well. Paul did not just stand firm for himself. He stood for others. He said, we do not give in so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. His motivation was love, not pride. He fought for the salvation and the freedom of the believers. That's a powerful lesson for us. Just imagine if Paul give up, how much the message of the gospel will be changed. It's true? Amen. Amen for Holy Spirit. And amen for faithfulness of my brother Paul. Parents who resist harmful culture present to protect the faith of their children are showing deep love. A young believer who resists temptation is preserving their Christian testimony, which can bless many. So when we are standing for the truth of the gospel, we not just defining doctrine, we serving others in love and honoring the gods who save us. That's the point. When we are standing for the gospel, it's not a menu. We are standing for the doctrine. No. We are standing for the love. Because you understand how much God loves you. And you try to show with the love of God to the others. Amen? Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Let us then stand strong, trusting in our faithful God. We do not stand alone. He is with us. Amen? So the first point, standing for the gospel of truth. And the second point, standing faithful to God, calling and grace despite opposition. Standing for God's calling. If God called you to for the doing something, be faithful to His calling. Amen? Be faithful to His message. Maybe it's a little thing. But if you're standing for that little things, God will grant you big reward. And will open another door for you. Amen? Just remember the parables of the talents. What did Jesus say to those people? Jesus said, you have 3 talents and they're working on it and you got 3 more talents. Okay, come to the kingdom of God. And you got 5 talents and working on it and you received more than 5. Okay, come to the, but you got 1 talent and you hiding that talent. Oh my, you got a problem. If you got only 1 talent, standing on that one. Amen. Maybe God give you the talent of encouraging. Maybe God give you the talent for prepared, what is that, the morning tea. Or something like that. I don't know. You see what is God calling you. You will see how God wants working in you. Like your brother Mickey. He got the gift of encouraging. I see how many people he bring to the church. That's why we got Sam here today. His cousin here today. That's why we have Ricky. He come every Thursday because Brother Mickey got a gift after encouraging and he tried to encourage people to the Lord. Amen? If you have some gift, work on it. Praise the Lord. Another powerful truth we see in the passage is Paul's unwavering loyalty to God's calling and grace, even in the face of the resistance or misunderstanding. Paul make it clear, I'm not here to please people. I don't preach the gospel to win approval from others. I think when he went to Jerusalem, he said to the leaders, the Jerusalem church, he said, I'm not here to please the people. I'm not here for pleasing you all. I'm not here to preach the gospel to win approval from others. His goals and a servant of Christ was simply this, to faithfully deliver the message of the gospel to all peoples. Amen? To deliver the message of the gospel to all peoples. He boldly declared that his calling is not from man, but from God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8, Apostle Paul said, but from those who seems to be something, whatever they were, it make no difference to me. God shows personal favors to no man. For those who seems to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised that been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who works difficulty in Peter for the apostleship, to the circumcised also works effectively in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, Apostle Paul says, okay, God sent me to the Ephesians, God sent me to Greece, God sent me to Crete, whatever God sent me, I know they are Greece, I know they are not Jewish, but amen, I believe to his calling. I try to preach a message to those people. I try to love him. I try to serve him. I remember I have that Bible study last Friday in Zoom, because every Friday and Wednesday I got a Bible study online for Farsi people, Iranian and Afghani people. And I remember Brother Bill, he bring the message about Jonah. Do you know what was the message of Jonah? Actually, he mentioned, it was very interesting to me. He said that Jonah must have one more chapter, the chapter 5, but Jonah have a 4 chapter. And what's the chapter 5 in the Jonah book? Chapter 5 about the Jonah love and Jonah repentance. Jonah went to Nineveh, and Jonah went to the Assyrian people to preach the word of God to those people, but Jonah never have a love to those people. Jonah hate those people. That's why when you read in chapter 4, you see the Jonah, he will go on top of the hill and sit on the hill and they're waiting for God's judgment and waiting for God send the fire to destroy the city. But God show his love, show his mercy with a vegetable. And God said, oh, you're getting angry, you're getting sad for this tree and you not make that. But how about for 120 something thousand people in that city? You want to destroy that city? You want to I destroy the city? My friend, love is very important. Without love, we can't go forth. Christian life is not easy. Christian life is hard. You will see up, you will see down. You will go into the hard time. The love is a boast for you, to help you, to go you move, to go you for. You know, it's like a boast. It looks like a more pressure for you. Jesus is standing with love on the cross of Calvary. Jesus said to God, Father, if it's any way exist, please you remove this cup from me. Because Jesus knows what suffering he will receive. But when Jesus saw, he's no other way. And he surrendered himself to the God with the love. Because Jesus came to show him the love to the people. Friends, if you believe that God called you to task or mission, you must stay faithful, even if others don't recognize or understand it. You might be the only believer in your family, or the only one among your friends walking with Christ at times. It may seem like the noises, the efforts you're making for God. You might even face unfair circumstances or rejections. But remember, if your true worth is measured by God's eyes, not by people's opinion. Amen? Your worth is measured by God's eyes. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, yeah, that's a good word. Amen? If God has approved you, you don't need the approval of man. Amen? If the God approve you, why are you looking for the approval of man? Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When your goal is to please God, the obedience of the others can easily shake your direct or faith. Amen? Your obedience be pleasing God, not other. Amen? When your focus be to pleasing God, whatever the people says, never shaking you. Never change your mind in your path. Confidence in God's approval. Paul teach us something free. If God has approved you, you don't need approval of man. That give us humility, because everything we have is by grace. And it give us courage, because Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be what? Against us. Amen? Being faithful to God's calling means that even if we are alone or no one listening to us, we do not turn back from the path God has shown us. Actually, I remember when I was in the college, I had a lecturer, a teacher. He was an American, but he lived now in, he lives in Sydney right now. But he shared a very interesting story about himself. He said, actually, when I was like a teenager guy, around 18 and 17 years old boy, and I would like to preach the gospel, but no opportunity for me to preach it because many suit men, many high men was in one church and no opportunity for me for preaching the gospel. But do you know how he practiced? How he practicing for preaching the gospel? Because he was a farmer. He worked in the farm. He said, I preach the gospel to the sheep. And I prepared the message and I preach the gospel to the cows, the sheep in the farm. And then one day God used me. I'm here now and I'm teaching you are how you are preaching. He was a teacher of the church planting. Amen. Maybe people mock your faith. Mock you for your purity. Maybe people reject you because you're honest where others cheat. But if you remain faithful to God, committed, it will become your honor in the end. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12, Lord himself said, blessed are you when they relieve and they persecute you, and say all kind and evil against you falsely, for my sake, rejoice and exceedingly glad, for the great is your reward in heaven. Amen? Rejoice. To stand firm in our faithfulness to God, we must rely on his grace, not on our own strength. The Apostle Paul endured hardship not by relying on himself, but by the power he received from God. He encouraged himself by saying, but by grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. And God has promised us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This means, even when we feel weak, or God strengthens us by his grace and power. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us through by what? Boldness. Amen? Boldness is the key word, my friend. Ultimately, our faithfulness is the result of trusting in God's amazing grace. Dear friend, the Christian life is not an easy journey. There will be ups and downs, trials and opposition. But there is good news. Through it all, God's grace goes with us and his spirit empowers us. Through his life and words, the Apostle Paul teaches us how to stand firm in hard time with faith and loyalty. Stand unchanging truth of the gospel. Resist any false teaching or deceive the temptation, not by our own standing, but by trusting the one who is our refuge and strength. Remain faithful to God's calling in your life, even if you feel alone, knowing that God is faithful and will never leave you. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my what? Helper. And Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And as we stand firm, let's keep our heart filled with the love. Let us remind ourselves with the other believers as one body, supporting one another and serving with the goodness, so that the light of Christ shining in darkness of hard days. When we are standing for the truth of the gospel, when we are standing for the God's calling, do you know what will happen next? Anyone have a guess? Bring the united in church. Bring the united. How the church can have a united? By individual member, be faithful first to God. Be faithful first to the God's calling. And then we can have a united to each other. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. You're not able to do anything. Without me, the church doesn't have power. That's why the Bible says the church is the body of Christ. Amen. Assembly of God. Each person, each member is a valuable for God. But each member must be, is a must. It's not a have to, it's not a should. Must be faithful first to God. Must be faithful to his calling. And then we can be faithful to each other. And to bring a loyalty. And to bring a uniting. So, I know the sermon is getting the time. But I would like to finish with these verses. In Romans 8, that's my favorite verses. Romans 8 verse 37 and 39. The Bible says, yet in all these things we are more than conquered through him who loved us. For I am a persecutor that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the things present, nor the things to come, nor highest, nor depths, nor any other created things shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. Are you loving him? God is faithful to us. Are you faithful to him? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you, Lord, for your gracious, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. And Lord God, please, Lord, help us, Lord. Help your church, Lord. Standing firm, standing in boldly, Lord, in the hard time, Lord. Standing, be faithful to you, Jesus. And standing for the calling, God, for the task or mission, Lord, you give it to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. And I pray your holy name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.